Back in November, November, I was praying about the services down here. I always start praying, you know, way ahead. And one of the subjects that God brought to my mind was healing. I thought, you know, okay, maybe I'm just more sensitive to that term because of the battle I was going through. And I also know how much, you know, Pastor Bronk has taught on healing. I don't know about that. I mean, I'll, you know, kind of put it the back burner of my mind and just kind of keep praying and so forth. But it was still there, you know, healing, still there. Then I start hearing the stories of so many people in this church battling physical stuff. And then people in our church start battling physical stuff. I mean, just all different kinds of things. And I thought, okay, I guess healing is something I'm supposed to teach on. Now, I have not yet watched the service here, the Sunday morning service last week. Just getting ready for the trip and so forth. I haven't seen it yet. But Pastor Bronk was telling me about it. Man, it was great. You know, people were being healed and all that. And I'm thinking, well, after a service like that, why should I be teaching on healing? I mean, my goodness, you guys got a double dose of it. Then this morning, hearing these testimonies, you know, what more can I add to it? I'm sitting there thinking, what more can I add? And the Lord impressed me how that last week and then these testimonies this morning are all a part of this message that He's wanting me to deliver. Like, okay. Well, that being true, then it's very possible that you're going to hear some things that Pastor Bronk shared last week. I don't know. I've never heard last week, not yet heard it. So I don't know what he shared. But I'm going to pass along to you what the Lord shared with me to tell you. This is going to carry over into tonight. And I'm believing that tonight we are going to have a special prayer time. Prayer line, whatever you want to call it. I know you did last week. And some people will say, well, if you got in a prayer line once, you don't need to get in a prayer line again. Well, no, I don't buy into that. You know, if that's how you believe, that's okay. But I don't go along with that. Because as far as I'm concerned, until that healing is fully manifested, go ahead and get in all the prayer lines. Just to, I don't know, encourage you or however you want to define that. It's okay. Don't worry about that. Now, this past Wednesday night, and really all of this, to kind of give you a little background here, all of this has to do with preparation, our preparation for outpouring and revival. This past Wednesday night, the Lord had me share a message, knowing your identity. And that is coming to the place of understanding our non-deified equality with Jesus in our relationship with God. And it all goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, how that, you know, created in the image and likeness of God. And that was God's intention from the very beginning. He never changed that. He never changed His mind. So for us to really understand even more the way that Jesus ministered, we need to also, not so much about, you know, well, He was filled with the Holy Ghost and power and so on and so forth, and all that's true. But if we study closely Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, repeatedly, He was talking about His unity with Father. His unity with God. I and my Father are one. And that got Him in a lot of trouble with the religious leaders. They said, you know, how can you say that because you make yourself equal with God? And He wasn't calling Himself deity God. He was saying, I am the Son of God. You know, He's my Father. You know, Jesus referring to Him as Father, that should tell you He knows He's His Son. But also, He understood His union with Father God. And then he talks about us being, you know, Father, John 17, he's praying, you know, Father, you and me, I and you, them and us, and so forth. There's a unity there. Well, we need to come to that place of understanding our oneness with God, not in deity, but in nature, in born-again life. We need to understand that, because that is so critical in us being used by God in the way that he used Jesus. Now, also, last Wednesday, I shared with you what I call life verses. There were three that I gave you. The very first one is the most critical. It is one single verse that if you live by it, if you apply it, it will completely transform your life in every area. And I don't say that to, you know, a lot of times preachers say things just, you know, to grab people's attention. I'm saying that because it's true. And it's in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus, he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, he's fasting 40 days. The devil shows up and says, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. That one verse is the standard for our lives. Genesis to Revelation, every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So if we do that, then we will be keeping Scripture in context. If we do that, we will never argue about the reality of the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, so on and so forth. Because if we're living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then we are going to live by that which comes from God and not by religious traditions that come from man. So that verse right there completely changes and transforms your life. But I gave you two others. And the second one I gave you was Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, what is it you shall not want? Name it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't matter what it is in life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's given me everything that pertains into life and godliness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
So that right there is a key to understanding that God is prepared to meet every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is. And the third verse I gave you, I've already referenced, it's Genesis 1, 26, where God said, making man, making humanity in his likeness and his image, that's who I am. Spiritually, that is who I am right now. Physically, the glorification is coming later on. Now, back in April of 2023, Pastor Bronk shared with you, it was a word that the Lord gave to him. I believe you were in your garage at the time this happened, something like that. And anyway, one of the what the Lord began to reveal to him was that there are these attacks that are coming. Well, actually, another way to put it would be there are attacks that are going to increase in the body of Christ. The attacks have always been there, but an increase. Let me help you understand something. We talk about outpouring and revival. Well, you know what? Just like in the Bible, it talks about, you know, Antichrist. Okay, well, those anti-outpouring and anti-revival.
Yeah.
And that's going on right now. Just read the news reports. It's happening. The increase of evil, it's corresponding to this increase of the move of God throughout the world. Well, these attacks were identified by terms or by names. And I'm going to kind of read them backwards. One was destructions of reasonings. There was the spirit of excuses, the spirit of lukewarm, the spirit of diversions, the spirit of another gospel, the spirit of lust and perversions, the spirit of division, and then the spirit of infirmity. And that's the one that, well, they all attack, but that spirit of infirmity seemed to have really tried to make tremendous inroads here at our church and then other places as well. And so it needs to be dealt with. It can be so easy for a physical affliction, it doesn't matter what it is, for a physical affliction to hammer us emotionally to the point, you know, we just want to quit. Just want to give up. Don't want to fight anymore. Yeah. Well, look over in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, as we go further into this, I really want you to understand that I do not present myself as somebody who has reached the pinnacle of everything that I am teaching. I'm sharing with you what the Lord shared with me and how that I am growing in this along with the rest of you. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, and this really kind of sums up everything that we know, we understand as far as healing is concerned, or as far as move of Jesus, what he did and how he did everything that he did. And in what Jesus did, boy, there's so many verses that we could read on this, but in what Jesus did, let me just sum it up like this. When Jesus went out and ministered, how many times does Scripture tell us, and he healed them all? He healed them all. He healed them all. And they brought the sick and the infirmed including people that were battling mental illness. They bring him he healed them all. He healed them all. He healed them all. Just continually, just over and over again. They brought them to Jesus. He healed them all. You know, they open up the roof, drop this guy down in. He heals them all. He heals them all. I mean, this was not every now and then. He healed them all. If people brought someone to Jesus, or if someone brought themselves to Jesus, lepers, I mean, it didn't matter. He healed them. He just healed them. And we think, wow, that is so neat. But look over at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and in verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And then over in Acts chapter 6, in verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So what we see is the healing didn't end when Jesus ascended back to the Father. It continued into the book of Acts. You know, silver and gold have I none. You know, be healed. I mean, over and over again. And Scripture kind of summarizes itself with great healings, miracles, whatever, by the hands of the apostles, you know, by their ministry. And then Stephen, Scripture doesn't even identify Stephen specifically as an apostle or an evangelist. He helped serve tables. But yet, healing, great wonders and so forth took place through him. And here's what the Lord really impressed upon me, is that healing and miracles, deliverance, they were a common occurrence. It just happened. Yeah. Healing, miracles, deliverance, they were just a common occurrence back then. One of the worst things that we do is separate our era from back then and talk about, well, back then those things happened. But God's never changed, and his will has never changed. It's still been the same. Look over in Luke chapter 6. I remember when I was reading through some of the healings and all that Jesus did while he was ministering. In Luke chapter 6, and this was something, you may have noticed this, it may have jumped out at you before, but the Lord really drew my attention to this. It says, Luke chapter 6, verse 6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he rose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. They were filled with madness. That means there was so much rage, it corrupted their mindset, the way they were thinking. They were more concerned about dealing with Jesus than rejoicing over this man being healed. How pathetic. But now, here's what jumped out to me. So here's Jesus, verse 6, he's in the synagogue and he's teaching. And in verse 7 it says, "And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." They watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. In other words, they knew he could. They knew he could heal on the Sabbath. They knew he could heal any time. They knew that. So they show up in their pride and their arrogance, and they're watching this. Well, let's see if he's going to heal somebody today. Well, why would you think that? Well, because he heals people all the time. Yeah. Let's see if he's going to do it on the Sabbath day. Yeah. And you know what? He did, but he didn't violate the law to do it. They were so corrupt in their teaching. One of the things that they taught was, they had just twisted the law, just created their own. Well, Jesus even said, the word of God doesn't affect with all your traditions. You just mess it up. And one of the things that they taught was, if somebody's injured, for example, if you have a cut, a bad cut, they said, you can put a bandage on it, but you can't put a medicated bandage on it, because that's working on the Sabbath to heal. Yeah, stupid. Now, in this situation, what they were hoping Jesus would do is something physical to heal this guy so they could say he's working on the Sabbath. He didn't do that. He says, "Stretch forth your hand," and the guy stretches forth his hand and he's healed. That's why they were so mad, because we thought we had him. And Jesus just spoke, and the guy's hand was healed, he was restored. And they couldn't do anything about it. They could not accuse him of working on the Sabbath, because that's what they were after. But the crazy thing is, they knew he could heal. They knew he could. This is what we're after. Right here. This is what we're after. We want to get to the place to where people know, if they come here, they can be healed.
That's right.
Hey, let's get grandma on. Let's take her down there to that church and get her prayed for. She'll get healed. Well, all right, we could do that, but what if the pastor's not there? It won't matter. Any of the people in that church can pray and grandma's going to be healed. Okay, that you should have given a big amen on that one. That's where we're headed. See, we want to think that, well, Pastor Bronk, he'll get there before the rest of us. And then we have to rely on him. Do you not understand that any of us, believers, any of us who are one with God, you understand that? Any of us are supposed to be at this place. It shouldn't be because the pastor's gone or present. It should be whoever's standing at the door greeting. The person comes in, and we're here to get grandma healed. Oh, really? Grandma, in Jesus' name, be healed. Boom, grandma's healed. Okay, now go sit and enjoy the rest of the service. It's the way it's supposed to be. See, they knew Jesus could heal. Turn over to Mark chapter 6. They knew he could. It wasn't just that Jesus knew he could. They knew he could. We are so far removed from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts that we consider the occasional sick person being healed a mighty work. God doesn't consider that a mighty work. Look at this, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Now look at this. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. In other words, getting a few sick folk healed is not a mighty work. That's not how God considers it. But he couldn't do any mighty works. Well, what are mighty works? All right, let's just say opening the blind eyes, okay? That's a mighty work. But when it comes to healing, you know, sick people, that's no big deal. He did that. So, praise God for when the sick folk are healed. But when we jump up and down and dance and shout as though we just walked on water, part of the Red Sea, and emptied a cemetery, I mean, come on. That should be normal. That should be normal. Look in Matthew chapter 8. Praise God. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. There's no hesitation. I will come and heal him. He didn't say, I'll come and pray for him. I'll come and heal him. I will come and heal him. See, we see healing as an event. Jesus saw healing as a way of life. Because, think about this. Really, I'm glad that the testimonies were shared. And what I'm saying here today, don't anybody get offended, all right? But praise God for the testimonies. But when the testimonies are over, and when the service is over, wow, wasn't that a great service? Yes, it was. Absolutely. Praise God for all the people that were healed. Yes, amen. I hope God moves like that again sometime. You see what I'm saying? Okay, that means we see healing as an event. Jesus saw healing as a way of life. We have a hope for healing. And here it is. Jesus had a healing mindset. That's what existed in his way of thinking. And that's what we need. We need that healing mindset when you're talking about outpouring and revival. That's a part of outpouring and revival. We're talking about, we want to see God move. We want to see the outpouring. We want to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Okay, praise God for it. Who's going to do it? Well, God. No. Who is God going to do it? God, who's God going to use to do this? Who's he going to flow through? You ever thought about that? Well, Pastor Bronk, of course. What about the rest of you? Well, Pastor Bronk. No. It's a whole bunch of us. It's all of us. Because, see, that healing mindset has to be a part of what dominates the way that we think.
Yes.
We hope somebody gets healed. Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, he's our example. So that means what we see in him is what we're pressing toward. You know, pressing toward the mark. Okay, that's part of what we're pressing toward to get to that place. But religion has messed us up so much. Religion has told us, well, you need to get to the big crusades and you need to go to this person and that person. But as far as the body of Christ is concerned, we literally have let religion demean us to the point to where we just, unless we got a title or a piece of paper that says ordained or what have you, then, well, that's not me. No, Stephen didn't have a title. Peter and John, they didn't have a piece of paper that said ordained. They were ignorant and unlearned men. Jesus was a man without letters. And yet all these things happened. We have to come to this place of having the healing mindset.
Yes.
That it's just going to happen.
That's right.
You know, well, what if it doesn't happen? Why do you want to play those games? But all right, what if it doesn't happen? You still have to have the healing mindset.
That's right.
Just because, okay, you pray for 100 people. 50 get healed, 50 don't. Rejoice in the 50 who did.
Yes.
And the next 100, we're going to see 75 healed.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? We have to have this healing mindset. Now, when it comes to this whole issue of sickness, disease, affliction, infirmity, and so forth, there are two sources for this. Only two. And that's it. Turn to John chapter 9. Show you one, the first one. John chapter 9. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man, of the blind man, with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And now, the other one. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. The other source. And I'll explain these in just a moment. In Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? These are the two sources of affliction. Number one, over in John chapter 9, what happened was this. They asked, Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that stupid? So this man sinned in the womb, and God made him blind because of it. Well, what did he do in the womb? What could you possibly do? Well, that was a doctrine of that time. And so Jesus, as he's ministering to this man, you know, makes the blood go wash in the pool, and the man comes back seeing. There's no reference at all to a demon. Absolutely none. What we see in that particular healing is a real result of Genesis chapter 3. Because when you go back to Genesis, God created everything and placed the authority of everything into the hands of man. Now God, the world is God, the fullness thereof, all of creation, but man has the authority. Man messed up. Man blew it. And because of that, all of creation was corrupted. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about how that because of one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world. That word world isn't specifically or exclusively speaking of the created earth. It's talking about all of creation, the sum total of all creation. Because of one man, sin entered into the sum total of all creation and death by sin. That word death isn't simply physical death, but it's talking about a corruption that impacts all of creation, which would include the living and the non-living. The planet's falling apart because of this. And in Romans chapter 8, it talks about how that creation itself is falling apart, is crying out, is groaning because of the power of sin that's impacting it. So what we see then is a Genesis in John chapter 9. We see a result of the Genesis 3 corruption impacting this man's body. This is why you have babies that are born with birth defects, where babies are born with cancer. All this kind of stuff happens. The sickness and the disease in general now, it all goes back to corruption all the way down to the cellular level. The corruption exists because of what Adam did in Genesis chapter 3. It spread, it's impacted everything, and that's just how it is. We have Genesis 3 bodies, every single one of us. We have Genesis 3 corrupted bodies, and the proof of that is read the obituaries every day. Genesis 3 is taking people out. And then in Luke chapter 13, what we see is the demonic influence concerning infirmity, sickness, disease, or whatever. And Jesus specifically identifies it as, you know, Satan has had this woman bound. You know, it's interesting how when people, Christians that believe in healing and so forth, every time somebody dies, every time, they want to talk about, well, Satan took him out. You know, Satan, you know, Uncle Joe, he was doing really well, and Satan took him out with a heart attack. You know, now wait a second. Is this the same Uncle Joe who was 6 feet tall, weighed 480 pounds, smoked for 40 years, and he had a Big Mac and Biggie fries and a Coke at least 3 times a week, and every week he ate at least a gallon of ice cream? Is this the same Uncle Joe we're talking about? Right? Oh yeah, devil took him out with a heart attack. No, the devil just had to stand back and watch Uncle Joe eat. The devil can go afflict somebody else. Uncle Joe's doing his work for him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but no, the devil did it. Yeah, well, Uncle Joe helped him. And really, Uncle Joe didn't have to do much of anything. I mean, the devil didn't have to do much of anything. But it's always the devil. No, guys, we live in a Genesis 3 world with a Genesis 3 body. And these Genesis 3 bodies are susceptible to all forms of sickness and disease. That's just the way it is. Now, we can facilitate either one of these through lifestyle choices. You know, you get out there and you're doing things. I don't smoke and I don't drink. Yeah, well, what else are you doing? What else are you doing that is contrary to the Word of God? Because, this one person, Jesus ministered healing to this person. And Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So you don't have to drink, you don't have to smoke, but if you're out there doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, yeah, you're opening a door for attack. But then along with that, for the physical, you know, it's not simply a matter of turning into one of these people that you only eat organic, you don't even look at a bag of sugar, let alone eat sugar. A lot of people are really into that, and that it's okay, you know. But you don't have to be that way. You just have to use some wisdom. And you and I both know, okay, if you want to have a Big Mac, okay, have a Big Mac. You want to have a Biggie Fry and a Coke, go ahead and have a Biggie Fry and a Coke. But when you're doing that every day, come on. You just might have some problems. Oh, I don't know why I'm so constipated. Have you ever considered what you eat? Have you ever? Oh, well, anyway. Our bodies are a war zone. They're a battlefield. In the natural and spiritually speaking. But you've just got those two sources of affliction, the Genesis 3 corruption and the attacks of the enemy. We as Christians live in dual realities. Spiritually, we live in the kingdom of God. But naturally, we live in a Genesis 3 world. And it's not a lack of faith to say, the day is coming when our natural bodies are going to no longer be able to function. And, you know, we're going to step out of this body into the literal kingdom eternity. It's going to happen sooner or later. And the cause for that stepping out of this body into the eternal kingdom reality, the cause can be varied. All kinds of reasons, you know, just, but it's going to happen some way, somehow. Faith cannot glorify our Genesis 3 body. Now, that glorification is coming when Jesus returns. But faith cannot glorify our Genesis 3 body. However, faith can appropriate healing to deal with afflictions and injuries. Okay, now, the title of the message, by the way, I should have shown this to you earlier, the healing mindset. All right. Now, there are. Okay, maybe there aren't. Please, here you go. There are four approaches to healing. Only four. This is it. Now, the first one. I said the first one. Do nothing and hope for the best. Seriously, do nothing and hope for the best. Well, the doctor said, what are you going to do about it? Go home and watch, you know, Flintstones or something. Do nothing and hope for the best. The second one, faith. The third approach to healing, you better work. I'm going to get mad at you. All right. The third approach to healing, is that it? All right. I said in Jesus' name. Is external. Now, what I mean by external is this. It can be prescription medication. It can be over-the-counter medication. It can be all different kinds of therapy. Acupuncture. That is a legitimate form of therapy. It could be massage therapy, chemotherapy. It could be radiation therapy. It could be physical therapy. In other words, it's something external that you apply to your body in hopes of being healed or feeling better. The fourth approach, there we go. It's a combination of faith and external. That's what we want to take a look at, especially right now is, well, I'll tell you what, turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And this is a very, very powerful passage, very prophetic concerning the work of Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, I want to read to you, I'm not going to give you all the Hebrew words because that gets kind of monotonous and also hard to pronounce. But what I'm going to do is read to you those two verses using Hebrew word definitions. All right. Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He hath used his own strength to perform the labor to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pains, and sorrows. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. Praise God. That's Jesus. That's what he has done for us. And over in 1 Peter 2:24, it talks about, you know, by his stripes we were healed. Now look over. That's faith, all right? That's the faith part of this. But now look over in 1 Timothy. A lot of people want to talk about faith. And the more you get into what you might call charismatic or, I don't know, those kind of churches and groups and what all, a lot of people don't want to talk about medicine because, well, that's a lack of faith. You know, you got to trust God. Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now that phrase, often infirmities, in the Greek, it's implying a type of chronic condition. Something that Timothy was just battling on a continual basis. Maybe not every day, but on a continual basis. Something that just flared up. Whatever it was. And the whole thing about the wine, you know, man, people, it's amazing how people want to fuss, complain, argue, debate about the wine. Was it really wine? Well, here's the way it worked back then. Yeah, it was wine. Did it have alcohol? Yeah, it did have alcohol. But it wasn't like the wine that we have today. This was a common practice back in those days. They would take wine, they would mix some water with it, and then they would drink it, maybe in the morning, in the evening, or both, or something like that. But it was like medicine for them back then. So it wasn't like these people were going down and buying a case of Boone's Farm and, you know, doing a chug-a-lug. No, that wasn't what was going on. So, and I'm not telling you go out, you know, and buy some wine, because what you buy today can't really compare to what they did back then. But let's think about this. Notice there's nothing in here about a demonic attack. He didn't say, stand strong in faith, cast that devil out of you. And so, no. This is dealing with a Genesis 3 affliction. Now, why did Paul tell Timothy to do this? Why did he tell him to do this? Well, why didn't Timothy just do it on his own? Because this whole practice of consuming, this medicinal approach, it was common back then. This wasn't something that was out of the ordinary. Why didn't Timothy just do this on his own? I'm not really sure, but could it be that, you know, Timothy was doing his best to take a stand of faith? I believe that, you know, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And I believe this. You know, Paul, I've seen a lot of people healed. I believe that I'm healed. And could it be that Paul recognized that Timothy's faith wasn't where it needed to be in order for that healing to fully manifest? And so he tells Timothy, look, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. He never said that Jesus didn't heal you. Basically, he's saying, look, now I'm paraphrasing big time, I know that, but consider this. Paul raised people from the dead. Paul ministered to people and people got healed. You don't think that Paul never ministered to Timothy? Well, Timothy, I'll minister to all those people out there, but dude, you're on your own. No, I'm very confident that Paul would have ministered, but the healing didn't manifest. And so he says, you know, take a little wine for your stomach's sake, you know, for your many afflictions, for this stuff that you're dealing with. Paul was telling Timothy to take medicine. Now, in Scripture, when we go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, more than once what we see is Jesus saying something like this to somebody. Be it unto you according to your faith. More than once, he makes reference to that. Well, you know what? Jesus hasn't changed. Therefore, our healing is, quote, being unto us according to our faith. Now that's what we don't want to hear. Because every one of us wants to think that we've got the faith. It does not matter what I'm facing. My faith, I'm right at the verge of walking on water and raising the dead. That's where my faith is. So don't tell me that there's a lack of faith. Didn't Jesus say, be it unto you according to your faith? This is what we don't like to identify, we don't like to talk about, is the possibility that we don't have enough faith currently to receive the full appropriation and manifestation of healing in our bodies. But guys, the fact remains, you and I both know, if the faith were there, you know, with God all things are possible. If you have faith, all things are possible. I believe, help me with my unbelief. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, just because we know God's healing promises does not mean that our faith is developed to the point of appropriating those promises to our body. And I'm telling you guys, this is, remember earlier I was talking about how that, you know, I don't like all these catchphrases that we use. Well, yes, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, for taking my infirmities and bearing my sicknesses. All right, all of that is true. The problem is, it's more of something we just repeat than it is something that is alive and living on the inside of us. Now, we know it's true mentally, but when it comes to it being the kind of healing, manifesting faith that we need, it's not there the way we'd like to think it is. Otherwise, really, you think that if we had the faith to see the healing manifested, that God's going to say, I don't care how much faith you've got, I don't think you should have healing manifested in you. I don't care how many people you've raised from the dead. I don't care how much water you've walked on. No. I don't think you get it. Yeah, I'm not going to let you have it. Now, that's just plain goofy. Therefore, it isn't that there's something deficient with God. It's that we just need to face up to the fact we've got more faith we need to develop on the inside of us to see that healing manifest in our bodies. Now, until our faith is at a place of receiving fully manifested healing, we may need to take a little wine for our stomach's sake. Now again, I'm not telling you to run down here to the grocery store. That's just a term I'm using. You say, well, I'm not going to be taking any medicine. I'm a man of faith. Let me tell you something. The time to buy a car insurance is before you have the wreck. And too many people wait until they're battling an affliction before they start acknowledging the Word of God concerning His promises for healing. We wait until, oh yeah, boy, I know I'm healed. You know, when it comes to the medication or the therapy or whatever it would be, remember the story in the Old Testament. The Jews come out of Egypt and they're in this battle with Amalek. And in this battle with Amalek, you know, the Jewish army, the Amalekites, and, you know, they're going at it. Well, as long as Moses had his hands up, remember that? The Jewish army would win. But if his hands got tired and started coming down, then the Amalekites would start to win. So, Aaron's on one side, Hur's on the other side, and they're holding up Moses' hands so the victory could be won. See that? Okay, sometimes, guys, we need an Aaron and a Hur of medication, therapy, surgery, whatever it would be, until we see the fully manifested healing. Now, this does not mean that we totally rely on the external. But sometimes, folks, until our faith is there, the external is going to help us. We keep pressing in. We keep developing our faith. We keep seeking God. We continue working to develop our faith, but it's not wrong to use the external. There are a lot of people, the affliction hits, I'm trusting God, I'm believing God, Jesus is my healer. Well, yeah, but you didn't focus in on that until after you went to the doctor and he said, time's limited. Now all of a sudden you want to be a faith giant. You know what? A lot of people have died saying, Jesus is my healer. Well, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But you don't wait till the last minute to start pressing in to develop your faith to receive the manifestation of healing. Now, let me share with you how this worked out with me. Back in the latter part of June, I started having some pain in my fingers. And to make a long story short, that it spread. It began to spread throughout my body, my fingers, my wrist, my elbows, my shoulders, my knees, and the muscles in between all the joints. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible, this pain. I would be sitting in a chair at home, all contorted, trying to find a position where I didn't hurt. No, it wasn't a matter of trying to find a position where I didn't hurt, where I could stand the pain, where it wasn't so horrible. Going to bed at night, trying to find a way to lie into bed to where I didn't hurt so I could go to sleep. The walking hurt, going up and down steps, horrible. When Kathy, she had to help me get my shirts on, had to help the jacket, had to tie my shoes. She'd have to wash my feet when I'm taking my shower. It was terrible. I'm in church and I'm trying not to let on. I don't like to brag. You know how some people like to brag about their stuff? Okay, I don't like to brag about my stuff, so I'm doing my best to cover this up, but it wasn't easy. You know, a couple of people came up. You know, are you going through something? Right? Well, yeah. You know, thank God for my healing. Well, anyway, I mean, during praise and worship, you know, faster songs, people, you know, you clapping your hand. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do this. So what I did, I'd be standing there, I'd be doing this. Okay, I looked like a paralyzed penguin trying to do this to the beat. And there were times when, you know, the praise and worship was over and I'm going up to the platform. I literally was trusting God that I was not going to collapse on the way up because my legs and all would just give out. Well, Kathy, she finally got very emphatic about go to the doctor. Okay, so I go to the doctor. And it ended up 3 trips to my doctor, 2 trips to a cardiologist, and 2 trips to a neurologist. They're trying to figure this out. The doctor, I never took any kind of narcotics during any of this. But man, oh man, did I take the ibuprofen and the acetaminophen. I mean, I put that stuff down. But it didn't really help that much. I mean, just like a little bit, but it didn't really help. My doctor put me on meloxicam. That didn't work. He put me on Celebrex. That didn't work. And he was saying, well, you know, if you can get to a rheumatologist, I suggest it, but they're so busy and there aren't that many anymore. A lot of them have retired. So it's hard to get in to see them. Well, Kathy had been seeing a rheumatologist, excuse me, for something. Anyway, so she calls her rheumatologist. And she says, you know, I'm a patient there, and here's what my husband's going through. Is there any chance that you can get him in? Now, this was in October. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and take him in. You're a patient, we'll take him in. And we have an opening in January. Well, okay, you know, praise God. At least there's an appointment. Thank you, Jesus. Well, then on Tuesday, November 7th, I was praying. And I'm apologizing to God. God, I'm sorry my faith is not where it needs to be to receive this manifested healing. Because I know if my faith were where it needed to be, after the first day of ow, I could have received the manifested healing. So I'm apologizing. I'm sorry. And Father, I tell you, I'd at least like to have a doctor who could put a name to this thing. And then I apologize for that. I said, I know that to you, you don't need a name. And I know if my faith were where it ought to be, I don't need a name. The problem is, I'm sorry. I want a name. Can you help me? I just at least like to have a doctor identify it by name. 1 hour later, I get a phone call from the rheumatologist's office. We have an opening. Can you come in? It's like, I am there. So I go to the rheumatologist, and the rheumatologist actually came out to the waiting area. Okay, come on back. And so I'm walking like this. It looks like something out of a Frankenstein movie. It was, And she looks at me and says, has anybody done anything for you? I said, well, yeah. So we get into her office and she says, tell me, when did this start and what's going on? So I started to explain to her, and just a few minutes into the conversation, she says, oh, I know what it is. It's polymyalgia rheumatica. And I'm thinking, glory, the doctor speaks in tongues. Yeah. I actually had her write it down. You can look it up later. Anyway, polymyalgia rheumatica. And she said, I'm going to prescribe prednisone. She said, this is going to take care of it. And so she put me on 20 milligrams of prednisone. So you take this for a month. And then at the end of that month, you go down to 10 milligrams. And then at the end of that month, you go 2 weeks at 9 milligrams. Then 2 weeks at 8. Then 2 weeks at 7 and 6 and 5. You keep, you know, and you can read yourself why it is you have to gradually come off that. So right now, as I stand here right now, I'm on the 7 milligrams a day. I'm following the doctor's instructions. Did I ask God for a doctor who could help? All right? So I'm doing this. And I will say this. That was Tuesday, November 7th, saw the doctor. Wednesday, November 8th, that morning, I started the prednisone. By that night, I'm feeling better. I mean, I could feel the difference. Like, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the whole time this was going on, I was thanking God and praising God, and I was confessing Scripture for my healing. I want to show you what I was. I want to show you. Okay, here's one of the verses. This is what I was speaking over myself. Now, I'm showing you how. The reason I'm doing this is because you need to understand. It's not just a matter of thank you, God, for my healing. It's a matter of, look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. See, God sent his word, and he says it's not going to return void. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So this is a word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, and it specifically deals with many things, but including any kind of disease. And so my confession would be, Father, I thank you. You know, I do not forget your benefits. And I thank you for forgiving me of all iniquities. And I thank you for healing me of all diseases, afflictions, infirmities. I thank you, Father, for doing this. And another passage, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. My confession would be, Father, I thank you for sending your word and healing me and delivering me from all destructions, all sickness, all injury, all afflictions, all infirmity. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me or made me whole or healed me. Father, I thank you that no matter what affliction I face, your word has healed me. Your word has quickened me. This is my comfort. And then I would quote from Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And so I would quote, well, in fact, I want to show you there at the end where it says health to all their flesh. That word health comes from the Hebrew word marpe, and it means health, healing, a remedy. It's referring to the restoration, cure, or renewal from an illness or sickness, deliverance, a curative, literally a medicine. Father, I thank you that your word is medicine to my flesh. It is health to every part of my body. Your word is the curative for my body, for everything that I am battling, everything that has come against me. I thank you, Father, for the total and complete healing of my body. And then along with this, I would quote from Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And I would say, Jesus, I thank you so much for taking my infirmities, for bearing my sicknesses. Jesus, I thank you for doing that for me. And then 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body, that on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus, I thank you that by your stripes I was healed. What I've shown you here, these are the verses that I began quoting the moment I started feeling the pain in my... Now, it's not that I never believed in healing before, because I did. But what I was doing was increasing my attack on the attack against me. Now, I know this. If my faith had been what it was supposed to, then I wouldn't have gone through this for months. I wouldn't have battled it for months. But I thank God. I thank God that He was able to work with me, to me, through a doctor and through that medication. Because you see, when you're laid up with a sickness and an illness, whatever the affliction would be, how in the world can God effectively use us to go out and do the work of the kingdom? Now, I want to show you something else here. In Galatians 4:4 it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Made of a woman. What that means is, and you can see here in Hebrews 10:5, that "Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." Made of a woman. The body that Jesus had was formed in the body of Mary. He had a human body. Now look over in the Gospel of John chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John chapter 1, if we begin in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And He was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay, now, Jesus was the Word of God. It says right here, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Then we see that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then we see, as the Word was dwelling among us, as we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we see is the Word made flesh, going about healing all who were oppressed of the devil, healing all who were impacted by affliction and sickness and disease, whatever it was. He went about doing this work here on earth. It was the Word in flesh going about and doing all this healing. In other words, Jesus was Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 in the flesh. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 119, verse 50. Chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. I mean, on and on through Scripture. All these promises that God made, they were fully manifested in Jesus, contained in that body. And as Jesus went around ministering to people, it was Psalm 103, it was Psalm 119, it was all of this manifesting through Him in the lives of all these people in their bodies. The Word, Psalm, the book of Psalm, the book of Proverbs, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He hasn't changed. He is still the Word. But now get this. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know what that means? If Jesus was the Word, if Christ was the Word, and it's Christ in us, it means the Word in us, the hope of glory, or the Word in us, the hope of healing, the hope of deliverance, the hope of everything that we would want. The Bible tells us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That mind is in part a healing mindset. And then we get over into Romans chapter 12, and it tells us, you know, "I beseech you, brethren, you know, therefore, you know, present your bodies a living sacrifice." Well, why should I do that? So that you come to the place of having your mind, your thinking transformed, your thinking renewing, the renewing of your mind, so that you come to the place of fully understanding, fully comprehending the sum total of every aspect of God's will for your life. That includes having this healing mindset. That includes every time we wake up and it's like that scratchy feeling in the throat. It's like, well, no, scratchy feeling in my throat. Listen to me. Okay, my body is the temple of God. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body houses the very life of God, the very Word of God. My body houses the very healing power of Almighty God. Scratchy throat, you do not have permission to live in me.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying here? We begin developing this healing mindset. And guys, I'm telling you, we eventually are going to get to the point we're not battling all kinds of sickness and disease the way that we used to. Now, this is a growing process. It's important to keep that in mind. It is a growing process. But the more that we grow into this, the more that we keep pressing toward this mark, the more it becomes a living reality in our minds. This is a part of the outpouring and the revival that God wants to work through us to the people out there who need this. They don't need to come in and hear us belly aching, moaning and groaning and hoping that we get healed. No, they need to come in here and hear these testimonies of how this person got healed and that person got healed. How that I'm feeling better now than I have in years. There's something happening in my body. I can feel this healing. It's manifesting. Those are the things that the people need to hear, because when they hear that from us, they understand we have been doing something they need to be doing so that they can be where we are in Christ, and their lives are going to be changed.
Yes.
This is what we have to have. This is what we're pressing after. Now, everybody go ahead and stand. We're going to continue this tonight, looking harder at the whole aspect of the Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. You can't live by what you don't know. And there are some people who have this strange belief that the moment you get born again, you already know everything. No, you have the capacity to understand, but you don't automatically know everything. Why do you think Jesus established the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? All right, and why did he say study to show yourself approved? Okay, we have to be fed the Word. And we can't wait until the bad diagnosis from the doctor. This is the part, you know, when people came to Jesus for healing, he didn't say, all right, now look, can you wait right here for about 8 hours? I'm going to go over here up this mountain and pray for a little bit. And then I'll come back down and I should be ready.
Yeah.
Jesus was always ready. Sure, he prayed. We know that. And we know that he at least fasted the one time. But he was always ready. He had that mindset. Jesus, you know, my servant, my daughter. Okay, I'll come and heal them. I'll do it. And he did it.
Yeah.
And then Jesus turns around and he says, look, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. Well, you know what? I'm a believer in him. But apparently, I'm not believing as much as I should be, or I would be doing what he said I could do. I'm doing more than what I used to. But we can't get satisfied where we are. It's like Paul said, I keep pressing toward the mark. He said, I don't want you to think I'm fully there yet. I keep pressing in. I keep pressing in. Folks, we need to keep pressing in. What I'm sharing with you today, it's not just for preachers. This is a body of Christ reality.
Yes.
For every single one of us. And yeah, you know, I admit it. I've been standing up here Wednesday night, coughing. This morning, a few of them got out. But you know what? Could have been a whole lot worse. I'm not making excuses, and it's better than what it used to be. And the Lord kind of impressed upon me, I'm not staying hydrated enough. because Wednesday night I started feeling like there was a combination of, I don't know, like cotton balls and dog hair. There, my, needed to, you know, hit the water a little bit more. There's also a thing called common sense. Praise God. All right, now, by Jesus' stripes, you were all healed. I was healed. This is our living reality.